celebrate Marty this morning, and today is an exciting day. We're going to celebrate her, goodness gracious, 30-plus years of service at the church, 20-some-odd years on staff. She started at the age of 12, in case you're wondering how this has all worked itself out. But I was trying to remember, Marty, which year you started on staff. Was it 98 or was it 99? It was 99, right? Okay, that's what I thought. And she's had this incredible ministry kind of arc here for years once she came to the church, and somewhere in the late 80s or mid 80s, 84. She became a volunteer immediately, and so for the next decade or so, she served all over the church doing a variety of things, what everybody did. Back in that day when we were bouncing from school to school with a place to meet, everybody did everything, so she did it all. She even did kids' ministry, which was a little unsettling, but nonetheless, in 96, we launched into a building plan to build this building, and Marty was an integral part of that. She was critical to the whole thing. So over the next couple of years, we planned and we got this thing built, and we got started. And then once we moved into the building, things started changing in a hurry. Really, people started showing up in droves. Ministry just started launching left and right, and all of a sudden things just started getting really exciting, really fun, and really chaotic. And one night, and I just remember this, I was standing down at the end of this walkway. It was an evening. We just wrapped up a meeting or a study or some such thing. And I was standing there talking to a gal named Debbie Vass, who has since moved to Houston. And I was talking to Debbie, and we were talking about, this program and this chaos. I mean, and it was just a chaotic, wild west, disorganized kind of thing. And she says, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to bring some order into this chaos. We're going to have to bring some structure into this disorganization. We're going to have to do something pretty quick. And she said, what you really need to do is you need to get Marty to come on staff or take charge and bring order into this madness. And it was like a light bulb went off, and I went, that's a great idea. And so I sat down with the elders and said, what do you think? They said, let's go for it. So we came to Marty, and we said, Marty, would you consider coming on staff as a ministry coordinator to bring order to the chaos? And look, we are going to pay you exactly nothing. And she said, sure. And she took on a part-time, unpaid position as our ministry coordinator and literally did bring order into the chaos. Everything you see that is orderly in this church is not from me. It is from Marty. All the right decisions, all the structure, all from Marty. And eventually that became a part-time paid position. And then as things began to grow even further, we asked her if she would take a full-time position and move from being the ministry coordinator to our executive pastor, where she was really the XO of the church, making sure things happen the way they should. And so she has just made a massive difference in her 20-plus years on staff and on her 30-plus years in the church. And so this morning, Marty, we're going to talk about you regularly, off and on, in the middle of these things. And we'll put the focus fully on her in about 20 minutes or so. But I'm going to spend a few minutes and take us into the Word of God. And so grab your Bible, go over to Matthew chapter 25. It is, I know, one of Marty's favorite parables because I've heard her teach it on a number of occasions. It is a parable that was critical in all the work she did as a ministry coordinator and organizing volunteers and helping ministries get launched. And it is a parable where God speaks to us about the issue of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Just stay in the course. Walking with Jesus. Faithfully giving your life away. And is there any other better picture than what Marty has done for the last 20, 30 years? Faithfulness. So grab your Bible. Let me walk you through it. We'll make a few lessons out of it, and we'll deal with this today. All right? So Jesus, as we've been looking at it, is telling a series of parables that are talking about what it looks like to live in the kingdom of heaven, to live in the life with Jesus. And he starts off this way. He says, again, in other words, here's another story. It's going to be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. And so in these opening words, as Jesus kind of introduces the thing right here, he tells us right up front, sets the tone, the topic, that it's all going to be about his servants. And it's going to revolve around this question of faithfulness and whether or not we are faithful to the master and faithful with what he has given to us. The context, in case this cuss thing kind of weird, doesn't it? That the master comes in and gives all this stuff to the servants and then disappears because he's going to leave. But back in the day, back in the ancient Near East, back in Jesus' time, a journey could take weeks, months, years, because it took forever to get somewhere and then to get back. Matter of fact, I was out in Charlotte a while back with my girls, with Susan and my daughter Hannah, and we were on this great trip, and they wanted to go tour all these old homes. We're touring all these old homes, and as we're going through the various homes, at every one of them, the masters and the leaders and the owners of the homes would leave regularly and go to Europe for days, weeks, years. And they would leave their home, all of their estate, all of their stuff in the charge of their servants to run things while they were gone. And so it's only in recent years that our thought of going on a trip is to bounce over, bounce back, and nothing needs to be taken care of. So the master is going to leave for an extended journey. It says in verse 15, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, and each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. And so it's the master, we see. It's the master who determines who gets what abilities. And all the servants were given differing amounts. There's some debate on how much a talent. I mean, this bag of gold, in other versions, it's a talent of gold. There's a lot of debate on how much that is, how much that weighs. Most of the experts agree that the bag of gold, a talent, is about 88 pounds. So a bag of gold that he gives is worth about 88 pounds of gold. So that is a ton of money. So what we see is that God gives to every one of his servants, that's every one of us in this room, abilities, skills, gifts that are worth a ton. They are incredibly valuable. And there's not one servant that didn't get any. All of us have these gifts. The king has entrusted every one of his servants with abilities that are incredibly valuable. Verse 16, as the story unfolds, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the one who had received 1 bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. We start to get a little bit of a hint as to why this guy only got a little bit. There's a little bit of rebelliousness, selfishness, laziness at work. And then verse 19, after a long time, by the way, this is where we're living. We are in the long time. Our master is gone. He is up in heaven at the moment. We know he's coming back. It's been a long time. We're 2,000 years into waiting. But we know he's coming back. And so we're in the middle of this long time era. It says, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 and said, Master, you entrust me with 5 bags of gold? See, I have gained 5 more. And he'd been busy, put the money to work. 21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. These are the words that we long to hear. This is what we want to hear from the lips of our Savior. Well done, well done. And I love what he says, that come and share your master's joy. As we are faithful, we experience the joy of God. The man with 2 bags of gold also came and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags. Here's, I'll get you 2 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And so we see right away that our faithfulness has nothing to do with amount. It's just we're faithful with whatever it is we've got. Okay? And then the bad guy shows up. The man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And his image of the master is completely different. He sees the master as harsh, as demanding, as mean-spirited, and there's no relationship with the master. So he says, I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. And see, here is what belongs to you. And so there's almost this idea of he brings his gold, you know, here's your gold. Here's your gold. You know, you kind of wonder, what's this guy been doing? He just buried it and left it. And there's some hint that this servant actually just kind of hopes that the master dies, and then he can go dig up the gold and keep it for himself. Master says, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. And whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, let me give you a handful of very quick lessons in the time we have. First is this. Faithfulness with my abilities is more important than how many abilities I have. We spend an awful lot of our energy worrying, comparing, competing. And that's really not God's heart at all. The Master gave you what you have. He chose before you were born to give you the abilities, the skills, the gifts that you have. God is the one who has shaped you. And so he has given all of this to you. And his concern is much more that you be faithful than how many. Isn't it interesting that the only ones who mention how many are the servants? Isn't it interesting that when the servants come up, they say, I got five, here's five more. I got two, here's two more. But the master never says anything about how much. He doesn't say, oh, way to go, I've got two more. All he really says is, hey, you've been faithful. You took what I gave you, and you did something with it. God is far less concerned about how many gifts we have than what we do with whatever gift we have, whether it's one, two, or five. He's not concerned about perfection. He's just concerned about faithfulness. Marty, you've been faithful. Let me give you a second thought. There will always come a time that I will give account for what I've done with my abilities. There will always come that time. Sooner or later, we're going to give a report over what we have done. We get so caught up in living in the now that we forget the long-term game. We forget the end game. That someday, we're going to have to stand before the Lord, and he's really going to only ask us two questions. What have you done with Jesus? Have you trusted him as Savior? And what have you done with the gifts that I gave you? I shaped you, and so there's this eternal perspective. And so there is this reality that, and the scriptures paint this picture clearly, that after we die, there will come a time that we will all stand before the Lord and we will give account. Now, it doesn't determine whether you're in heaven or not. It determines how much engaged we are in the kingdom and various things like that. And yet, there's this reality that we will give account. And Marty, I know, because you and I have had this conversation many times, that we are both reaching this season of subtotaling. Because see, there's not just one accounting when we reach heaven. I think we have multiple accountings within ourselves. We hit the subtotal button on our lives many, many, many times. At turning points, as chapters end, as things develop, as things change, I think we regularly hit a button and kind of go, what have I done with what I've had? Now, I also know that in those moments, Satan loves to come alongside, as we talked about last week, and start whispering ears of whatever it wasn't enough. You had five bags and you paid five more, why didn't you get six? You had two and you got two more, why didn't you get three? And there's this moment where we begin to wonder if it's been enough. It reminds me a whole lot of Schindler's List. And at the end of Schindler's List, if you've seen the movie where Schindler, you know, it's really coming to that moment, and he has saved 1,100 men and women and children from death. He has saved them so that they did not die. And all of a sudden he has this moment, the dialogue goes like this, and he says, I could have got more out. I could have got more. I don't know if I could have done more. And his friend Isaac says to him, Oscar, there are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Look at them. Look at them. And he says, if I made more money, if I threw away so much, I threw away so much money. He says, there will be generations because of what you did. 1,100 people. And Marty, I know, just because we've talked, that there's this times you stop and you have to go, was it enough? Did I do enough? And I will tell you that the impact you've had is not just here. It has rippled all over the world. It has changed lives everywhere. In fact, let's take a minute. Just, you know, you don't have to fake this at all, but if Marty has impacted your life and you're in this room, would you just stand up for a second? If you're at home and you're looking at Facebook, just type your name or type me. Marty, look around. Stand up and look around. This is your legacy. This is your legacy all over this city, all over this world. All right, you guys sit. So don't let the lie of it wasn't enough slip in. Let me give you a couple of quick other lessons because we've got fun stuff to do. What I do with my abilities reveals who I am on the inside and what I do on the outside. It's so interesting. The flow is all the same. He says, well done. You've been faithful in a few things. You put in charge. And it starts with this kind of evaluation of who they are. You have been faithful. You are faithful. It's a look into their heart, not a look at what they did. There's not a focus on the result. It's a focus on their character. Because who we are, what we do reveals who we are. And who we are flows out into what we do. And so that's why we focus and steer into the heart. And then finally, let me give you this. I will either expand or shrink based on my faithfulness with my abilities. You see that? See that in the passage? Where the one has five and gets five more. He has some abilities. The more faithful I am, the more abilities he ends up getting. That the truth is, you and I will shrink. If we use our gifts, we grow. If we don't use our gifts, we shrink. If we are faithful, we grow. And the growth is in the area of relationships with Christ. You know, more responsibility in the work of what Jesus is doing. More capacity to bring about life change in others. More joy in what we do. And so, of course, it brings us to this whole kind of the conclusion of use it or lose it type thing. God's gifted us all. What are we going to do with it? And Marty, we're here to celebrate that you have been faithful, that you have expanded, that you have impacted lives, and you have and deserve an excellent, well done, good and faithful servant. All right, I'm going to shift gears. We're going to kind of slip into quasi-party mode for a minute as much as we can. And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have a little slideshow about Marty, okay? An opportunity to see Marty. Don't start it quite yet, but we're going to start that. And then immediately after that, we have asked three different women to share some stories about Marty. And in this service, one will be live and two will be taped. And so immediately after the slideshow, Carol Pierce is going to step up and share a few, talk about Marty and the impact she's had on her life, okay? So sit back, relax for a couple of minutes, and then I'll come back up and get us to the next phase.
See, can y'all hear me? Is that okay? Hi, Marty. I'm so honored and happy to be here today and talk about my dear friend Marty. She's not just my pastor, she's my good friend. And I've known her for 30 plus years. Goes back to when we used to meet for church. It was called Christ Neighborhood Chapel back then, and then it became Trinity Bible Church. 25 years ago, we taught a Bible study together on the book of James. I'm sure you remember that. And we've had other ministries together over the years that have been fantastic. We've been to Trail West together as families, which is a young life camp. One of my beliefs is that a lot of our relationships are built through working together in ministry. And that's what I had the privilege of doing that at times with Marty, and I know a lot of you have had that. And some of those have been young life and mission trips and all that, and that's the way we get to know each other well. When I was thinking about talking about Marty, I was thinking, what are some of her characteristics? I mean, there's so many things that I could say about her. And three different characteristics came up to me for you. One is hospitality, which is definitely one of her spiritual gifts. Her home has been open to so many people, so many meetings, whether it's committees or dinners, get-togethers, hosting people at their house. I mean, and not to mention, she's a great cook. And I know a lot of you know that, so if you ever get an invitation, be sure and go. But the hospitality is of the heart, the welcoming, to make everyone feel so welcome in her home. And the other characteristic I look at is her empathy. As executive pastor, she has opened her doors to so many people that have come in for counsel. And so many women's lives she's impacted, I can't even count, that she's been there for them for either spiritual direction or just to support them. And she knows, because she's my dear friend, that she's been there for me. The door's always been open. Anytime I've called her, she's been loyal. She's been there for me in some of my darkest times, and she knows what those times are. And I'm forever grateful to you for that. And lastly, my other thing I thought about her was her servanthood. She serves. And, you know, when I first met her, I was a stay-at-home mom. She was a professional attorney, you know, in law practice. And over the years, God led her in a different way. And she listened to his call and to serve us and to serve our church. About a year ago, July, did it turn off? There it goes. Had the privilege of going to a funeral service for her father, who had passed away in Baton Rouge. And one thing I noticed was that all the people that spoke about her dad, Mr. Quinn, talked about, he was also an attorney, but he did a lot of public service, and how he gave back, and he gave back, and he served. And then I went, bingo, that's it. That's where Marty gets it. It's the legacy passed down to her to be that. And so I just want to thank you so much for being that for all of us. People trust you. We trust what your heart is. We trust your authenticity. And well done, good and faithful servant. I love you.